Good morning again. Wow, you're very responsive today. I like that. That's good stuff. Hey, we're continuing on our series, God Is. Got a question as we start this morning. When was a time that you trusted someone and got burned? Has that ever happened to anybody? A couple of you? Do you find it easy or difficult to trust others today? Trust is a big deal. Trust is a big deal. You got to have trust in relationships, or it's going to go south in a big hurry. And that lack of trust can really debilitate us in walking out healthy lives. When we're operating for this was not in my notes. I'm just kind of rambling right now. But when you operate out of distrust, you're not operating at full capacity. Anytime you've got a wall up or you're fighting against something, the life of God is not flowing in the capacity that it needs to flow. Does that make sense? Well, of course it doesn't make sense because we didn't really talk about it a lot, but we're not going to. But just, it's good to be able to trust, and it's good to have your heart healed up by Jesus. And Jesus is the only one that can do that. So keep coming to Jesus. Keep bringing your broken heart to Jesus if you've gotten in one of those situations. So let's go. Let's go to Scripture today. We've been in Exodus 34 for weeks and weeks, and we've read through this verse a lot of times. So the Lord Yahweh, the Lord compassionate and gracious God, right? We did compassionate, we did gracious, we did slow to anger. Remember long nose of God, God's long nose? Last week was abounding in chesed, abounding in love, this covenant love, this loyal love, this love that's tied to a promise. I'm going to continue to show you love that's more than what you deserve because I am who I am and I've promised that. And we can walk in chesed as well in that kind of faithful, covenant, loyal love, whatever. And the one that we're looking at today is abounding in love and abounding in today's faithfulness, abounding in faithfulness. So often those two words are together, the love and faithfulness. And we're not going to look at a bunch of those scriptures, but you'll often find those two Hebrew words together. Chesed is the love one, and we're gonna learn another Hebrew word. This one doesn't have a ch in it, so it's a little easier. So today we're studying God is faithful. Say faithful, and we're gonna learn. You know what? This is just not a literary trick or a gimmick to present Hebrew and Greek words to you. It's to hopefully uncover some of the history of the word and the greater meaning of it. Because when we get translations, they do the best that they can what they think the author's original intent. But like last week's word has said, there is no one-to-one translation. And it takes about four or five words to even kind of accurately portray what that word means. It's not being cute or like it's trying to fulfill what were the original authors trying to convey. And in that language, there was a word that meant that. But ours doesn't have a singular word, so it's hard for us. So that's what we did last time. We looked at a bunch of different words. Today's word is somewhat similar. It's not quite as it kind of is, actually. And it's full. But we're talking about God's faithfulness, faithfulness, faithfulness. John Mark Comer says in his book, God Has a Name, he says, when life gets hard, so many of us, not you guys, but so many of us just bail. When it's no longer easy or fun or novel, when it gets difficult or uncomfortable or boring, we just leave. We leave jobs and cities and churches and friendships and marriages. We just cut ties and we're out of here. We're a generation raised on text messaging, making flakiness easier than ever before. God's not like that. He's faithful. He's faithful. That's a snippet from John Mark Comer this morning. So let's learn our new word for today. Hey, everyone got your Hebrew pants on? Okay. The word for today is not Emmet. It's Emet. 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 If you say Emet, that's a guy. Emet is a Hebrew word meaning it's all wrapped up with, it's another one kind of like chesed where it's got multiple meanings in it. It's faithful. It means trust. It means trustworthy. It means faith. It means belief. It means true. It means truth. And we'll find out. So I thought, well, let's look at just that verse that we just read, the Exodus 34:6, in two different versions. So the ESV says, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Okay, right? We said faithfulness. But in the CSB and some other versions, they translate it, pass in front of him. Compassionate, gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in faithful love and truth. Abounding in faithful love and truth. So wait a minute. So faithful is the direct translation of the word emet, faithful. Unless you go to the CSB version and some other versions, and they're going to take that word emet, and they're going to translate it true. So God is standing before Moses saying, I'm faithful. And we go, yeah, I think I know what that means. And then other people heard, same word. They heard God say, I'm true. What do you mean you're true? You are true or it is true? Wait a minute. God is saying, I am emet. I'm abounding in emet. I'm true. Truth. Abounding in truth. What is that? How does that? I would not put that in the same category as faithfulness. Does that make sense? But same biblical word, emet, translated in a couple different ways. So again, like I said last time, little beeper should go off when we see these kind of drastically different words. They're not like, oh gosh, these translators must be really bad. No, this word is really rich. So let's get some multiple versions and let's kind of dig into this. Let's find out what this word really means. And again, I'm not a Hebrew scholar. I just quote Hebrew scholars because I don't know. But I trust that they've devoted their entire lives to studying these scriptures and they're going to tell us what this means. So let's talk about something that I do know. Wood. I do know wood. I spent a lot of my lives working with wood. I like wood. I like how it smells. I like how I can manipulate it because I'm a control freak, right? To make it do what I want it to do. Unless you buy lumber from Menards and you can't. I can tell by your laughter you've saved big money. And I heard the other day, and I hope this is sad for some of you. It probably won't be. But I heard that Norm Abram passed away. And I grew up watching the New Yankee Workshop. He was the bearded guy that the table saw on PBS all the time. So don't even tell me you don't even know who he is. I'm going to be so fulfilled with, my nose is going to not be long. It's going to be short. So I watched learning how to make crafts and stuff. And so I've built houses. I've done woodworking. And I really like it. I enjoy it. But one of the things that we talk about with wood, one of the first thing that any woodworker worth his DeWalt drill, one of the first things that they talk about in wood shop is we need to true this up. You need to take a piece of wood and you need to true it. True it up. Jorgensen's, they don't know what that means because they everything is square from the get-go with them guys. It's just right on the money, like from inception. But the rest of us, we need to true up our lumber. So what we will do is we will make one surface straight and flat. We'll get the humps out of it, we'll get the twists out of it, and we'll get the curves out of it, right? Those are three dimensions that need to be gone. It needs to be flat on one surface. But then we've got a problem because we don't always just work with boards on one surface. Sometimes you take a flat board and another flat board, that's how we build panels, and you slide them together. Well, if the edge, the little part, the side, you know, call it the side because you're not woodworkers, all of you, the side of it, the edge of the board, if that's off a little bit, when you put your two boards together, say you put three of them together or four of them together, it'll look like the rolling hills of Ireland. So one side needs to be straight, not curved, and needs to not be twisted. Needs to be flat. So we usually do that on a planer. But then we've got a problem. We need to take that side, put that up against the joiner, and make it square. Or if we're crude, we run it through a table saw, unless we've got a really good table saw like I've got. And then we can make that edge, make the edge of it flat to the face of it. That's what's called truing it up. Now we've got a point of reference that we can start with and do all of our measurements from. Now I can get the other side parallel to this side, and I can get that side parallel to that side. Everything is square, and everything is right. It's true. Say true. It's true. It's how it's meant to be. One of the other ways that we use the word true in lumber is how many have got a house that's over 80 years old? A few of you guys. If you find out, our first house was a house in town here, and we did a bunch of remodeling, and it's fun to open up some of those walls, and you find 2x4s. So what is a 2x4? What is that referencing? 2 inches. Yeah, 2 inches wide, however, thick and wide. Yep, 4 inches wide, 2 inches thick. A 2x4 used to be something, and then it turned to something else, and then turned to something else. And when I was in my heyday, if I ever had a heyday as a carpenter, a 2x4 was 1.5 by 3.5. And we find many, many 2x4s now, which I'm not doing much anymore, but they're even less than that now. They keep shrinking them. So a 2x4, the 2 part is 1.5, and the 4 part is 3.5. It's bizarre. It's not. So what people will say, if you get one of the old house 2x4s, is what you say in South Dakota, 2x4, you'll find that, whoa, this thing is really thick, and it's really wide. I try to put it in the wall, and it bumps out, and nothing's flat anymore. Why is that? Because it's a true. It's 2 inches thick and 4 inches wide. Well, that doesn't work with my lumber. My lumber is not true. The other way that we talk about truing a board is we'll sight down it, kind of like you're doing there. I remember when I went to Virginia, I was in college, I'd never done anything in my life, and I got a job on a framing crew in Virginia, in Newport News, Virginia, Tab area. And so we were framing houses, and I didn't know which end of a board was the inside, outside, up or down. I got I'm green as could be. And so the guy's on the roof, and I'm like terrified. I'm like, I want to be so good. I want to do a good job. And I want you like, and he said, hand me one of those boards. Make sure it's a straight one. Construction guys can be a little gruff. So I'm shaking in my boots. I grab it, and it's a big board, big long, like 26 foot long. I mean, it's a big 2x12. It's heavy. So I lift it up to him, and he grabs one end, and he looks at it. He said, I said a straight one. So I watched what he did, and I grabbed that board, and I looked down at it. It just looks like a board to me. Like, I had no idea what he's doing. How are you? What are you seeing? Well, don't you see that? I can't see nothing. I don't know. Handed it up to him. The second one, he's like, that's better. I'm like, no, I'm good. So that's what we're talking about. Truing something, making it what it's supposed to be and straight and right. Does that make sense? Okay, let's look at some of the uses of this. Do you remember, it's been a long time ago already, but do you remember our word for today? Emet. Oh, you did. You remember that. It's a simple one. There's no, it's just emet. Oh, it's up there. That's why you remembered. Oh, I was just... you guys aren't as smart. I think you're a lot smarter than you are. I have a high opinion of you. I really do. I'm like, yeah, they remembered. I figured the best way, it's kind of like last time. Let's just go through the scripture and see how that word gets translated in different places so that, remember, we're talking about a characteristic of God. We're learning about who God is. So in all these verses, as we're reading about the word emet, as we're reading how it's translated and used, that's what God is. Does that make sense? So each verse that we read might not be talking about God, but that word emet is translated in a certain way. And remember, it's God that we're talking about, because God says, I am abundant in emet. I'm abundantly emet. I don't know how you would say that, but... So 2 Kings, we got a couple of verses in 2 Kings. Chapter 2 says, if your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me, or emet before me, right? That's how the NIV translated in Exodus 34, the verse we already read. Faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, yada, yada. 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 2 and 3 says, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good is in your eyes. Both of these verses would reflect what you and I would think of when we think of the word faithful, right? If you guys' anniversary today, right? One of the things that we want to do to have a healthy marriage, one of our beliefs, one of our personal beliefs is that you should be faithful. Yep. Keep the affairs to a minimum, right? Like none. So And by the grace of God, and only by the grace of God, you know, we stay faithful to one another. We do what we're supposed to do in a linear fashion, again and again, doing the right thing, being where we're supposed to be and doing what we're supposed to do. That's what we consider faithfulness to be. If I asked you to define faithfulness, you would give me some version of that. If I was going to define faithfulness, and that's what these verses, if they walk faithfully before me, if they keep doing what they're supposed to do. Hezekiah said, Lord, I've walked faithfully before you. I kept showing up, and even when it was hard to do the right thing, I did the right thing. Even when it was uncomfortable and people were upset, but I did the right thing, I said the right thing, I was faithful. I obeyed your commandments. I did what I was walked before you faithfully with wholehearted devotion. My heart was engaged. I was faithful. That's what we think of when we think of the word faithful. The word emet here is translated faithfully. But there's some other different ways that it's translated. Let's look at one of those. Genesis 42, 14 through 16. Joseph, you guys remember Joseph and coat of many colors and Joseph Jacobson, if you're trying to remember. We did that series a while back. Joseph said, okay, so Joseph, the brothers don't know that it's Joseph, right? They sold him into slavery. So this is kind of the culmination of that. Not that it matters that much, but it's just as I told you, you are spies. And he knew they really weren't spies, but he said, and this is how you'll be tested. As surely as Pharaoh lives, you will not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one of your number to get your brother. The rest of you will be kept in prison so that your words might be tested to see if you're emet. And if you're not, then as surely as Pharaoh lives, you are spies. That's how emet is translated here. You see the richness of this word starting to unfold a little bit? I want to see if you're telling the truth. I want to see if you're emet. And it doesn't refer as much to over a long period of time continuing to do the right thing over and over again. That's faithfully, and emet is translated faithfully as well. But in this instance, the word emet is translated, Justin, are you emetting me or not? Are you telling me the truth? Are you being true to what your words are saying? Are they accurate? Is it square? Is it straight? Is it reliable? Is it true? Emet. Isaiah 59 says this, our courts oppose the righteous, and justice is nowhere to be found. Truth stumbles. Emet stumbles in the streets, and honesty has been outlawed. Yes, emet is gone. And anyone who renounces evil is attacked. The Lord looked and was displeased to find that there was no justice. I feel these words are hauntingly eerie in 2024 in America, right? Emet stumbles in the streets, and honesty has been outlawed. Yes, emet is gone. And if you renounce evil, you're attacked. This emet is this rightness. It's this truthfulness. The truthfulness about the reality of how things are and should be. The oughtness of things. The emet. The truth of it. So it's translated truth here. Proverbs 11:18. A wicked person earns deceptive wages, but the one who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. An emet reward. A faithful reward? No. That's not quite right. Assure we, like, you can be guaranteed that this thing is going to happen. Emet. Just kind of letting that soak in. I don't want to rush through these too fast because I want our brains to catch up. Like, faithful, okay, that's doing the right thing over a long period of time, regardless of what we feel like doing. We keep showing up, we keep doing the right thing over and then over and over again. That's faithful. And truthful. And now, sure, what else we got in here in our bucket of meanings? 2 Kings 20:19 says, the word of the Lord you have spoken is good. Israel was kind of getting judged, and Hezekiah replied, for he thought, will there not be peace and emet in my lifetime? This soundness, peace, and security, this kind of wholeness, firmness, kind of, it's all right. Different than peace, but this emet. We're getting a varied and wide range of meanings for this big word in four letters that is encompassing what God is. God says he's abounding in emet. Another verse. Psalm 19:9, the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are immet. They're firm, they're solid, and all of them are righteous, okay? The righteous describes the morality, the goodness of them, but the immet describes the solidity of them. They're firm. The laws of the Lord are immet. Yeah, they would be the right thing over a long period of time. That's not quite what they're trying to convey. They would be truth, absolutely, but that's not quite what the writer is trying to convey. He's trying to convey the solidness, the firmness of God's commands. They're not wishy-washy. They're not, oh, God feels like this one moment, then he's something else one other moment. It's the firmness, the solidness. The one before was security, that reliability, that firmness of everything. Let's look at another verse, Nehemiah 7. 1 through 2, after the wall had been rebuilt and I set its doors in place, the gatekeepers, the musicians, and the Levites were appointed. I put in charge of Jerusalem my brother Hanani, along with Hananiah, the commander of the citadel, because he was a man of immet. And he feared God more than most people do. Was he faithful? Yeah, but it's not quite what I'm trying to convey. Integrity. He was a solid surface countertop. I used that analogy a number of weeks ago. Like, if you scratch it on the top, it's the same color all the way through. It's not just a glaze over the top. It's all the way through. If it gets chipped or scratched, you see it's exactly the same on the inside as it is on the outside. That's integrity. He's emet. He's solid, yes, but he's consistent all the way through. He's integrity. He does the right thing in whatever circumstance. Well, I need to be a good friend or be faithful to my wife or whatever it is. Well, what if I feel like this? Or what if I'm angry about this? Or what if I'm tempted by this? No, emet. I've got integrity. In whatever the situation is, I'm the same. God's saying whatever situation is, he's the same. He's emet. He's got integrity. Emet. One more. One more. Exodus 18:21 says, but select capable men from all the people, this is Moses getting his instructions, who fear the Lord, who fear God, trustworthy men. Say trustworthy. Trustworthy. That is probably the word that, according to the guys I was listening to, they feel like in today's language, in 2024 language, probably most conveys what we would want to think of as emet. He's worthy of trust. His character and what he does is worth us trusting in. Trustworthy. Select trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. All right. Whew. That's a lot. There's a lot of words in there, but the meaning of this is so broad and so big, and God's saying he's overflowing in all of these things. I will list some of them out later for you just in case. Like, I should have wrote all those down. You can watch it on video Tuesday as well. But God is full of emet. Name someone from the Bible. Just a name. A Bible name. Jesus. Yep. Somebody else. David. What'd you say? Abraham. David. Moses. Anyone else? Jonah. Paul. Okay. You guys know all those guys, but do you know Ethan? You guys know Ethan from the Bible? Come on, man. You got to know Ethan from the Bible. I'm serious. There's a guy named Ethan in the Bible, and a kind of a prominent guy. Ethan was his name. There's like Hananiah and Hezekiah and those kind of names, and then you got Ethan. Ethan was a really, really smart guy. Talks about, who was the wisest man in the world? Solomon, right? King Solomon everyone's shy. They don't want to say anything right now. 1 Kings 4:31 said that King Solomon, he was wiser than anyone, including Ethan. It's in your Bible. 1 Kings 4:31, you'll want to look that up because it really is in there. Solomon was wiser than Ethan. So we know that Ethan was really wise. He was famous for being really wise. But other than being really wise, Ethan was a human. Humans have emotions. Amen? Not today. You guys are stoic. Pastor, I feel like I'm getting tricked here. I am not saying another word. Okay, you do you. Ethan had a struggle, and he wrote one psalm. What guess? Give me a guess. What psalm he wrote? You don't have any hints. It's just a number. This is what we would do in youth. He did not write Psalm 1. You're wrong. We don't do that in youth. I just don't know why the people won't say anything anymore. So we're going to start in Psalm 89, which is the verse, which is the psalm that Ethan wrote. This is Ethan's psalm. I hope if you learn anything today, you learn about Emmett and Ethan. Emmet is the word for faithfulness or truth or reliability or firmness, steadfastness. And Ethan is a dude, a really wise dude, and a guy that wrote Psalm 89. And we're going to find out that Ethan struggled just like you and I struggle. How many of you guys think that, like, honestly, and maybe you know that it's not true, but you think that Bible people were like special people? I do. And it's not true at all. They were human. They had the same kind of emotions, the same kind of struggles. But we're like, whoa, these people that wrote the Bible, they were like, whoo. Can you imagine if you were even in the same room with that? Like, they were inspired of God and they flowed by the Spirit of God, but they were people just like we are people. And we're going to look at some of Ethan's Ethan-ness today. Because Ethan was a human, just like you're a human. Wouldn't you like to be a human too? Come on, Ethan. So Ethan starts expounding on the Lord's greatness. He starts in verse 1. He said, okay, verse 1 is always the best place to start. He says, I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known to all generations, through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever. Catch that there. Okay, this is Ethan. What is Ethan saying? Ethan's saying, God, you're faithful. Your love stands forever. Not for a week, not for a year. Your love is forever. That you have established your faithfulness, right? He sandwiches this forever love in faithfulness, faithfulness. God, you are faithful. You are faithful. You do what you're going to do for good. You keep doing it over and over and over. You said, I have made it, so he's quoting God here, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I've sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. So Ethan is just kind of super excited about God, that God is faithful, that God is just declaring that he's going to keep on doing the good thing, and he's made a covenant, and your faithfulness are declared in the heavens, and God, you are so good. Oh, I'm just declaring that you are really good, God. And he says, just a smattering of verses here, 14, 28, 33, he says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness. Say faithfulness. Love and faithfulness go before you. This is Ethan writing. It's Ethan. Ethan, the Ethan guy. I will maintain my love to him for how long? Forever. And my covenant, listen to this line. Listen to this. My covenant with him will never fail. And another verse later, he says, but I will not take my love from him, nor will I ever betray my faithfulness. He's talking about, Ethan is talking about David, God and David. God, you're making this covenant with David. And Ethan liked David. And Ethan's writing about David. And he's writing about God. And your faithfulness is in the heavens. Your faithfulness is in the skies. Right? So let's go to a couple more. Psalm 89, 35. Once for all I have sworn by my holiness. This is the Lord speaking. And I will not lie to David. God is saying, I won't lie to David. That his line will continue forever. Wait a minute. God's saying, I'm not lying to David. His line's going to continue forever. Ethan's telling us what God was saying. Forever and ever, his throne will endure before me like the sun. It will be established forever like the moon and the faithful witness in the sky. Okay, Ethan's writing, and he's still writing. And then Ethan is human, and he starts in verse number 38. But you've rejected, you've spurned. You've been angry with your anointed one. You've renounced, God, you've renounced all these 37 verses that I've written. Feels like it's all a lie. Hold the phone. Read the Bible like it's written. Read it that real people wrote this. Right in the middle of this, 37 verses later, verse number 38, Ethan has this. You guys ever had something? I do this all the time. It's bad. Don't do this. You would never do this. I do this. I'm working on it, and I'm getting much better. You would never do this. But you have something pent up in you, and you're like, it's not that big a deal. And you're like, oh, I'm a woman of God. I'm a man of God. I'm going to be humble. I'll have good fruit, and it doesn't need to be brought up. And if I do bring it up, I'll bring it up at an appropriate time where we can have a good conversation. And then you're in the middle of something, and it just blurts out. Oh, and by the way, you haven't picked up your socks for 13 years. That was not appropriate. Like, there's a better way to do it. Do you know what I'm talking about? You think you're doing so good and you got it all stuffed in. I feel like Ethan's having one of those moments right here. Maybe he's not, but the furiousness of his emotions, not that he's furious, but the veracity of what he's feeling just gets blurted out in verse number 38. You got 37 verses of God will never fail. His covenant's forever. He's faithful. Come on, he's faithful. Come on, guys, he's so faithful. He's never going to not do what he said he's going to do. He's always going to do what he said he's going to do. His covenant stands firm forever. God, I feel like you're letting us down here. It just blurts out. Read it like it's written. But you've rejected. You've spurned us. You're treating us like garbage, God. You've been angry with your anointed one. You've renounced. God, you made a covenant and you broke it. Oh. You've renounced the covenant with your servant and you've defiled his crown in the dust. And God left it in the scripture. I feel like there's a heaviness. I feel like someone this morning is like, I can resonate with that. I can relate to Ethan. You know what? Today, I am Ethan. I want my life to look like 37 verses, but sometimes it looks like 38 verses. I want to just believe that every word of God is true, and I don't have any bad feelings about it. But some days, I am Ethan. Some days, I feel like, God, you lied to me. God, you let me down. God, this doesn't look like how I thought it was going to look. God, this isn't right. What are you doing? How do we reconcile God's emet in the midst of us feeling like he's let us down, in the midst of our lives falling apart, in the midst of, man, I prayed and they didn't get healed, in the midst of, I tried everything to keep this thing together, and this relationship broke apart. I did everything to, like, I don't know what else. God, I feel like you're letting me down. I am Ethan today. You got to remember the 37 verses. You got to remember that God is true. He's true. He's not just truth, but he's true. He goes on, Ethan does. How long, Lord, will you hide yourself forever? How long will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how fleeting my life, like, hey, I'm not getting any younger, God. Can I see your emet in this lifetime? For what futility have you, like, it's all worthless. This is pointless. You guys ever said that? That's what Ethan is saying here. Like, it's dressed up in nice words. For all futility have you created humanity. Shut up. He's saying, this is pointless. This is useless. You guys ever been discouraged? You guys ever been like, this is useless. Nothing I'm doing is working. God, you're not coming through. Man, bring that stuff to the Lord. Ethan did. Hold on. Ethan did. Hold on, guys. Ethan did. David did. Bring it to the Lord. Let God deal with it. Who can live and not see death? Or who can escape the power of the grave? Lord, where is your former great love in which your faithfulness you swore to David? We're talking about emet. We're talking about the Lord's faithfulness. And Ethan is going like, hold on, human moment here. Man, I feel like we're getting the short end of the stick. God, I feel like you're letting us down. I feel like you lied to us. I feel like you broke your covenant. I feel like, and he's telling God that. And I feel like this is garbage, man. I feel like this is not cool. Not cool. Sign me up on that. This is not cool. Anyone ever had a this is not cool God moment? We're human. But you got to be willing to let the truth of who God is really sink into your hearts. Because what Ethan didn't know is that God knows more than Ethan. Come on. When God makes a promise, God knows more than Ethan. So if you're being an Ethan today, that's okay. bring it to the Lord, but also remember that God knows more than Ethan. And we find out that the very first verse in the very first chapter of the Bible, we find Ethan's answer. Matthew 1:1, this is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David. Lord made a covenant. He made a promise. He was not about to break it. In that moment, to Ethan, it looked like to Ethan that the Lord was breaking his covenant. God's like, I've got a lineage that you don't, and it was the lineage of David. It was his family. He's like, I'm going to fulfill this covenant. Oh, and it's going to be so amazing. And it's not just going to be a king over Israel. It's going to be king of the world. He's going to be king over all creation. Oh, Ethan, come on. Tell your inner Ethan today it's going to be okay because you don't see the whole picture. Come on. I know I'm talking to people today. I know. You know what? As you're a communicator, you know when something's resonating. This is hitting like you ever throw in a great big rock in a lake? Sometimes when you preach, you get little rocks skipping across the surface. Sometimes a bird just bats it away, right? Sometimes there's a little plunk. Yeah, that hit. Today is a great big rock. A big deep. I feel it sinking into your spirits. There's days we feel like Ethan. Oh, God. I feel like you let us down. God, I feel like this is not working out. Like I felt like you said it was gonna. You need to see the big picture. God knows the big picture. You need to know that Matthew comes after Ethan. Come on. If God made the promise, he's sure, he's true, he's sound, he's reliable. Man, if Ethan could see this. Wait, he can. He's in heaven. He gets it. He knows. He finally sees the grandeur and the amazingness of God. You know why? Because God is trustworthy. Say it. God is trustworthy. One more time. God is trustworthy. He is trustworthy. The Bible Project says this. In the Hebrew Bible, trust is not blind trust. A lot of times our modern notions of trust or faith, they involve, we think of it like something despite the evidence, like just a leap of faith. Well, you just got to trust. But in the biblical story, trust or belief, it relies on evidence of trustworthiness. This is hard for us because America, especially in America, we're like, we just got to have faith. Just this blind grabbing a hold of something. And God is trustworthy. Therefore, people trust him. There's evidence of his trustworthiness. Sometimes, they're saying in the Bible Project here, there can be a difference in our English between saying, I've got faith in that, or I believe that, versus I think that's trustworthy. And what he's trying to get at is, it's great to come to church and say, I have faith, you know, I believe. Good, that's good. But what we really want to get you to is if you say, wait a minute, that's trustworthy. I wanted to put a picture of some Amazon reviews up here. I am by nature crippled by decisions. I have the biggest fear of making the wrong decision, so I'll invest way more time on the front side, ultimately not even make a decision because I don't want to make the wrong one. I want to make sure that this tool is what you say it's going to do. Like this product, did I put the right product? Building our house, it was terrible. It was torture. Because what building, I'm going to do it this way, and then they'd come out with a new common practices. Oh, no, now we put this on first, and then we coat this material. I'm like, oh, no, I did it all wrong. So I've got this fear, so I've got to research and research and research and research, and I've got to find out if this is trustworthy. Can I trust that this is going to do what it says that it can do? By nature, I'm like, I have to know. I've got to know. And my wife is like, you're exhausting. Stop. Just stop. Just don't be you for a day. Just don't. Just stop. Just watch this. Click, bought it. No. It's no problem. I'm like, what if it's wrong? She's like, well, then we'll send it back. Or we'll use it. Or you know what? Jesus will still come back. It's all right. But we want to know. We want to say, we want to go from, and I'm not putting down having faith. That's not what I'm saying. I'm putting on our Americanized version of that. That what it should mean to, I have faith in that, or I believe in that, to mean, hey, you can trust that. You can trust that. I've done the research. I've read the reviews. You can trust that. We'll finish up here real quick. John 8:23. Let's move to the New Testament. Jesus is speaking, he's having a confrontation with the Pharisees. He said, but he continued, you're from below, I'm from above, you're from this world, I'm not from this world. I told you that you would die in your sins if you didn't believe that I'm he. You will indeed die in your sins. Well, who are you? They asked. Just what I've been telling you from the beginning, Jesus said. I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me, this is Jesus' words, I'm going to describe him to you in one flashpoint of a moment here. He's trustworthy. Now, you're having a hard time dealing with me right now, but the one that sent me is trustworthy. You can trust him. Do the research. He's worthy of your trust. Psalm 33:4. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. In a different version, he says, the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is trustworthy. All right? The list? Nope. List is next. This is the question. The question, then the list. What are we trusting God for? We're trusting God to save us, get us to heaven, to heal us. Am I leaning into God? He's trustworthy today to bring freedom in my life. We talked about that earlier. To provide for me. Maybe you're in a season where you got to trust the Lord to show up with some provision for you. Just had a great testimony this week of people that were potentially at risk of maybe even losing their house. And God just showed up in a phenomenal way. Like, he's provision. He's trustworthy. You're just feeling unloved. You just need some friends. I was in that stage once. I didn't have any friends. Gave my life to Jesus. I didn't have any more friends. I was lonely. I don't really get lonely much. But at that stage, I was lonely. My mom prayed. God was faithful. Sent me a friend. He did. It was like, it's supernatural. Like, just boom, showed up on my doorstep. Not really. But like, pretty much. It was almost that. Justice, direction. Like, we could fill this out with 1,000 things. But what are we trusting for the Lord for? How do we trust God? We make him our primary source of reliance. Right? Whatever else that is helpful to the situation. God's where we go first. I need to trust that he's trustworthy. Here's the list. Emmet is faithful. God is true. God is right. God is reliable. God is sure. He's firm. He's secure. He's trustworthy. I know we're a little long today. Oh, I've been going long lately, but our last verse for today. Last slide. Revelations 19. Verse 11, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider was called Faithful and True. Listen, Ethan, today will get better. Come on. I'm talking to you, Ethan. Those of us this morning that are feeling a little human, a little more human than spiritual, and we're going, oh, I feel like the Lord's let me down. He's Emmet. He's solid and secure and trustworthy. Keep leaning into him. He will not let you down. Your emotions might get let down. Your expectations might get let down. But God will not let you down. His name is faithful and his name is true. Amen? Woo! Let's pray. God, we just thank you that when we feel like having the same struggle that Ethan had, when we just, gosh, we think you're not keeping up your end of the bargain, help us to realize that there's more to the story. There's more. That's the word for today. There's more to the story because you really are faithful and you really are true. I pray that that would just be cemented in our spirits today, that our emotions would be quenched, our anxiety would be relieved, and we would be able to set our spirits in you and trust that your word is true and you are true. You are faithful, and we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.